Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Hello, I'm Alan Stanford, and welcome to Macbeth in Monaghan. And now Dennis Bates of CBS Sexton Street, Limerick, is going to give you a sample answer to a question on Macbeth.
I'm going to talk to you, firstly, about the definition of the soliloquy, and secondly, about how to prepare an answer on the soliloquy for exam purposes. A soliloquy, from the Latin solus loqui, meaning to speak alone, is a dramatic device in the Shakespearean play. Shakespeare uses it for two purposes. The first of which is to allow the character to reveal their inner thoughts, what's on the speaker's mind. The second purpose of the soliloquy is to allow the character to engage in a dialogue, typically with himself or maybe with the audience. But in that dialogue, the character is able to work out what they're thinking, what's going through their mind, what their attitude, what their response is to that, what strategy they're going to adopt following whatever the events may have been. In Shakespeare's play Macbeth, the soliloquy is used as a very powerful dramatic device. And Shakespeare uses it for two purposes. The first of those is to allow us to hear what Macbeth is thinking. And the second of those is to allow us to hear Macbeth arguing with himself as he goes through the rights and wrongs of a situation and as he develops his strategy for responding to them. Now, if you're writing an answer, what we have said so far would allow you to write a good introduction. A good introduction would include a statement of the question that you're answering. It would include a definition of the terms that you're going to use, and it would also include an outlining of the parameters or the boundaries of the answer that you're going to write. We'll take a look now at what would go into the body of your answer. We've established already what the soliloquy is. We now want to see how Shakespeare uses the soliloquy in the course of the overall play. To do this, we're going to talk about it in a number of stages. Because what Shakespeare does is to start the soliloquies as stage asides. A stage aside, if you like, is a little soliloquy. A small comment, again, spoken by the character, but not heard by anybody else except the audience. And of course, the audience are outside the world of the play, looking in, listening in. In Act 1, Scene 3, when the witches are telling Macbeth the prophecies, Macbeth responds with a series of spontaneous asides. They tell him, for example, that he's Thane of Glamis and Thane of Cawdor. He knows he's Thane of Glamis, but he's astonished to be called Thane of Cawdor. They tell him then that he may be king hereafter. This is shocking for him, and in an aside expresses his astonishment and his immediate reaction, which is that these things are so improbable that if chance would have him king, then chance would make him king, as he says in that scene. The further we go into Act 1, we see the soliloquy now being used for a more important purpose. In Act 1, Scene 5, for example, Macbeth speaks some of the longer soliloquies. In these, he's giving us his considered opinion, his inner thoughts. He has now been bitten by the bug of becoming king, but he knows that it's impossible in every proper sense. He cannot be king because morally he has no right or entitlement to it. His soliloquies become more complex as the scenes evolve through Act 1, and they reveal to us the character of Macbeth as a complex man, very aware of what's going on, who has a finely tuned conscience, but, fatally, a conscience which he is not willing to act on. In his soliloquy starting, "Is this a dagger I see before me?" he ends that soliloquy having talked himself into a stalemate. And when he hears the bell, which Lady Macbeth rings, the bell signalling that the bedtime drinks for the Duncan's guards are ready, Macbeth's response is, "Hear it not, Duncan, for it is the knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell." In a sense, you could say Macbeth is saved by the bell or perhaps damned by the bell, but it's the bell which stops his thinking and prompts him to go into action. Later in the play, when we move into Act 4, Macbeth speaks a number of soliloquies, though by this time the soliloquies are shorter and more pointed. Macbeth realises that he has made a major mistake in killing Duncan and that what he has done is wrong and unforgivable. Macbeth also realises that it is inevitable that he must fail. He says to us in Act 4 that he is so far steeped in blood that to go on is as easy as to go back. He says to us again when news is brought of the forces ranging around his castle at Dunsinane to lay siege, he says that he will still continue, that he will at least die with armour on his back, and so on. Shortly later, he speaks the words, "From this moment the very firstlings of my heart shall be the firstlings of my hand." In a sense, he is abandoning his head, his reason, his conscience, of his faculty of conscience, and moving to a life governed by feelings, a life governed by the impetuous heart and furious, impassioned action, the life of the hand. So we see at this point Macbeth moving towards his final end, and in his ever-shortening soliloquies he is telling us how more desperate and how more unreasonable and spontaneous his actions are going to become. A good answer ends with a strong conclusion. So a good technique to use here is to take the opening sentence you had at the beginning of your answer and to rewrite it as a concluding statement. In our discussion, we've looked at the soliloquy by definition, the solus loqui, the speaker speaking alone to himself. We have spoken of the soliloquy as a dramatic device in the play, and we have seen how Shakespeare uses the soliloquy to chart the progress of Macbeth's character and action through the play, starting with short asides, proceeding to long and complex soliloquies, returning to shorter soliloquies as the play moves forward, and ending in brief statements at the conclusion. Thus, throughout the play, we have seen that Shakespeare uses the soliloquy as a very powerful dramatic device to reveal the characters and also the unfolding development of the action.
"I am in blood stepped in so far that should I wade no more, returning were as tedious as go o'er. Strange things I have in head that will to hand, which must be acted ere they may be scanned."
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.